Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength4thejourney.com. This is radio program number 90, if you're listening by shortwave radio. Just want to update people on the things that are happening here with this ministry. We have a shipment, two pallets. I got a bill of lading today, and it is on its way from Miami to Panama. So we're excited. We have two pallets, 170,000 chick tracks, and we have a lot of crusades and outreaches that are all scheduled in the next few months. And so these tracks will come in real handy. We're going to be going to in Dominican Republic and back to Colombia early part of the year. So we're really excited about the things that are happening. Some other really exciting things is that there is now a service in the church that we go to here in Boquete. We came here 3 years ago, my family and I, and didn't really know exactly what the Lord wanted to do, but he said that I need to do a work in you before I can do work through you, and so he began to do a work in my life and my family's life, really taking a lot of Babylon out of us and making a lot of corrections in our life. Didn't realize how much rebellion and disobedience I had carried with me into a new land, but the Lord really did a lot of things in my life and taught me about submission, about obedience, about authority, that we really don't have authority until we're submitted to authority, because all authority comes from above, just like the centurion soldier understood. So some of the things that have happened recently, I've mentioned before that the people here in Panama nominated me to be the leader of the men's ministry, which was a first time a gringo had ever been nominated into a leadership position. This was about a little less than 3 years ago. And a lot of things have happened since then, but something else really amazing happened here just in the last few months is they have nominated me to be a pastor here at the church. And what's really interesting is that I am the only gringo pastor in the whole country of Panama in the Assembly of God Church. So there's a lot of first things that are going on right now in my life. And one of the things I just want to use this as a word of encouragement for people out there right now is that, you know, many years ago, the Lord began to speak to my heart about what he wanted to do with me in my life. And coming out of the world, a lot of the world had to be taken out of me. But he said, if you follow men, you can only go where man's been before. And then he said, but if you follow me, I'll take you where no man has been before. And some of the things that I've seen just recently in my life, I have pursued the Lord in a way that I never have before. And he's doing things with me that he's never done before. Sometimes we have to get to a place in our life where we're really willing to go the extra mile in our walk with him and not be satisfied with our accomplishments. One of the things the Lord said to me also when we left the States, and I was looking at all my previous trophies, literal trophies, that I was thinking, how am I going to take these with me? Because the Lord gave us instructions to take suitcases, which didn't leave a lot of room. And as I was looking at these trophies, the Lord spoke to me and he said, do you want to hang on to your old trophies or do you want new ones? And I think there comes a time in our life when we have to just let go of even whatever great accomplishments that we've done in our past, because he wants to do something new. And as long as we're hanging on to our old laurels and resting on our laurels, there really isn't much he can do, because we're really looking backwards instead of looking forwards. And these are some of the things I want to talk about tonight about looking forward. This has been a really unique experience for myself, because having to kind of walk the gospel out in a way that I never have before kind of identifies the gospel as I look around and I watch other people's lives. And one of the things that really spoke to me here a while back, as I began to realize the cost of being a disciple, was found in Luke chapter 14. And I'm going to read this beginning in verse 7. It says, He put forth a parable to those that were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief room, saying to them, "When you go are bidden any of you a man to a wedding, sit not down at the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give thee man this man place, and thou begin to with shame to take the lower room. But when thou art bidden, go thou and sit down in the lowest room, and when thou art bade, come when he they excuse me, when he that bade thee comes, and he says to thee, friend, come up higher, then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and whoso humbles himself shall be exalted. And said he also to them that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, come not, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense is made to you. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sits down at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And he said to him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time, saying to them that they were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they at all at one consent began to make excuse. And the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and go, I need to go and prove them. I pray thee to have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house became angry, and said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went a great multitude with him, and turned to him, and said, and he said to them, if any man comes to me, and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brethren, his sisters, and yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. And which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it. And all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goes to war against another king, sits not down first, and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassage and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. When I really began to understand what this was all about was, there is a leaving that all of us must do. There has to be, just like when we marry someone, there's a leaving and a cleaving. In the same way, if we're going to be the Lord's disciple, there's a leaving and a cleaving that must take place in our life as well. And this is what the Lord required out of us, that we had to literally forsake all. We came to a new land with suitcases and didn't know anybody, didn't know the language, and we came in a very vulnerable, very desperate position in this way. And since we have come, I've realized that my coming and leaving has been an example for many others that are feeling like they need to leave the United States and go to a foreign land. And so many people have begun to come to Boquete for that reason. And it's interesting to watch the people that come. I honestly couldn't take care of the emails and all the people that were trying to contact me. And a good friend of mine about a year ago came. His name is David Williams, and he's been on my program a few times. And he just said, "Hey, I just whatever I can do to help. Let me. You know, I know you're pretty overwhelmed right now with a lot of things going on." And so I put him up at the office, and I said, "Look, I just need some help with some emails." And he began to just follow up with people that were wanting to take an exploratory trip to Panama. And one thing that began to happen was he said, "Look, I need I need to kind of duplicate my efforts." So he began a website, and so he began a website called BoqueteHelp.com, and that was just to offer information for people that if they needed paperwork in order to get a visa, all the things were there for on the website, and a lot of questions could be answered just through the website. And he began just to help facilitate many people that were wanting to come on exploratory trip. And one of the things that was very interesting is almost everybody would say that they've really felt the Lord impressing them, or maybe specifically the Lord did tell them to come. And then what happens is just like it happened with us, that like Jesus when he told his disciples, "I'll meet you on the other side of the lake," it said the contrary winds arose. And this is what happens many times when we begin to pursue the will of God for our life. The enemy doesn't want that to happen, and he will throw out everything in the book to try to get us to turn our sail and go back to shore or go back home. And I realize that what happens is that we have to qualify ourselves first, because the enemy will have access to us if we don't. We cannot love anybody more than him, including our own life. And I find many times people that want to leave and go pursue the will of God for their life, they want to go and preach the gospel, they want to go on the mission field, they begin to look back and they begin to think about the people that they've left and the family, the grandchildren. And pretty soon we find people leaving for that very reason. In fact, one couple came just about a month ago, and they were really plugging in and really excited about what the Lord had in front of them, and they were going to go back to Panama City just for some paperwork that needed to be done on their visa. And they called David over to take him down to the bus stop early in the next morning. And when David went down to go pick them up, there was, instead of maybe a couple suitcases, there was all their suitcases lined out in front of the house. And David thought to himself, it seems like a pretty long trip just going to Panama City. And when they got in the van, they began to say that they really missed the kids and the grandkids, and they figured they're going to go to Panama City, they might as well go on back to the United States. And David said, "Well, what about the container you've got?" "Well, we're just going to turn it around and have it go back to the United States." And I thought, wow, you know, did God say for them to come or to leave? And I think about that scripture where it says that we have to count the cost, just like someone who builds a tower or someone who's going to go to war, whether they can finish it. And I think that's a part of forsaking all, is that we have already counted the costs, and that we're willing to go through whatever it takes to pursue the will of God, whatever God said. One of the things that Satan always uses when, if God does speak to us and give us a word or a direction in our life, you know, just like when he did to Adam and Eve, you know, he made them doubt what God had said. He said, "Hath God said?" Because he wanted to put doubt in their mind of what God did say. And this is why it's so important for each of us, when we do hear a word from the Lord, when we know God has spoken to us, we have to almost etch it in stone so we don't forget it, or that we don't get discouraged and think, "Well, maybe God didn't say." Because when we first came here, it was literally all hell broke loose. We had probably 6 different times we were in emergency room visits, car wrecks, emergency dental visits between the, you know, some of the children. It was just, what is going on? I thought, you know, this never happens when we're in the States. How, you know, what is happening? But we just kept pursuing because we knew God had called us to come here. And we had to pursue those contrary winds because I knew they were just trying to blow us back where we came from. And there was a lot of just demonic warfare that was going on, and we had to understand it. You know, the Bible says to be not ignorant of Satan's devices, that you have to understand when it's the enemy trying to keep you from where you're supposed to be. And I've had this happen a number of times in my life, and I begin to recognize when it is the enemy and not just a strange circumstances that are happening. And I think sometimes, you know, we get our maturity level tested when we do step out in faith. And it really, what it boils down to is whether we really trust the Lord, whether we really trust our hearing ear. Have we learned to discern His voice? There's an article I wrote a while back, and it is called Can You Hear Me Now? And if you want to see some of the articles, they're on Strength for the Journey under the tab under articles. But this one I dealt with hearing God's voice and discerning His voice. You know, one of the first things I asked God when I first gave my heart to Him, I said, if I'm going to follow You and I can't see You, how do I really know it's You? And I heard just like a thought came into my mind, but I knew it wasn't my thought because I don't think like that. But the thought was eliminate the devil. And since I didn't even know what in the world that meant, I just questioned what the meaning of that was. And the next thought came to my mind was eliminate every area in your life you've been deceived. And so as I began to really think about it, I started thinking about deception. Where have deception coming into my life? And I started thinking some things about maybe even drinking, that I never had a wreck when I haven't been drinking, or I get around the wrong people, say the wrong things, do foolish things. And I thought, well, maybe that's an element of deception. And I never read the Bible before, and I began to read the Bible, and sure enough, in Proverbs, it says, I believe in 20 verse 1, it says that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So I realized that just little things like this was a confirmation that I was beginning to hear God's voice, and I didn't want to be deceived any longer. I didn't want to take one step forward and two steps back in life. And so I began to pursue God's voice in my life and eliminate what I knew wasn't God's voice. And I saw it like a room full of radios playing, and there's only one right station. There was a number of wrong stations. And if I identified a radio station, let's say, in a form of a voice that was deceiving me, then I had to turn it off. He didn't say do in moderation, cut back on. He said eliminate. So that meant I had to turn it off. I had to turn that voice completely off out of my life that I knew wasn't God. And one of the things I discovered is that as Christians grow up, that many of them don't eliminate what they know isn't God. And so when they have a question or they have a time when they have to hear from God, how do they know which voice they're listening to? Because they've given ear to other voices that they know is not God. And I think this is one of the most important things for all of us to do, is that if we know there's a voice or there's an influence in our life that we know is not God, we have to turn it off. Because otherwise, we're going to have confusion in our life when we want to hear God and we want to know His will. Then we won't know when that enemy comes and begins to speak to us, because literally we have two masters. We're listening and obeying two different voices. And the Lord really wants us right now to eliminate everything that we know isn't Him, because these are times right now that are coming that we have to hear God's voice. We have to pursue His will. We have to know if He's saying to leave, that we know it's His voice to say to leave. We have to know if He's saying to stay. We have to know where to go, where to be, what we're supposed to be doing in these times right now, because there's going to be some big changes that take place in the economic world, in the political world, in the nations that are going to be going to war with each other very soon. There's just a lot of things that are happening, whether it's terrorism or what have you, but we have to be in the right place. That's one of the things. When I asked God, I said, God, I got to know whether this is really You telling me to leave the United States and go to Panama. And I said, I don't want to make a wrong choice. I have to have an answer from You. And because I don't want, this is too big of a decision. I have my whole family I'm taking with me. And when I got myself in a desperate situation, I just said, God, I got to know I knew I was supposed to go to a different, particular church that morning. I felt like the Lord had a word for me there, and sure enough, the word that the Lord gave me at the service that morning was that I have to be where He tells me to be, and I have to be there when He tells me to be there. And I literally saw like two fingers crossing. One was time and one was place, and they intersected in a divine moment or divine destiny. And I knew it was about obedience and a timing of obedience too, because you can be at the right place at the wrong time, or you can be at the wrong place at the right time. And, you know, if you want to catch your flight to go someplace, you have to be at the airport on time or else you miss your plane. And I believe that the Lord's trying to get us to a point where we're on in His timing and in His will. And it really gets exciting when you begin to see His will manifest in your life. It's like having one of those little duster, looked like a paintbrush that you could dust and check for fingerprints. And you can begin to see His fingerprints on doors that are opening, or relationships that He brings into our life, or just somebody just so happens to be somewhere where we were, and we just feel like, you know, this was a divine encounter, this was a divine moment. I was supposed to meet you, or somebody has a word for us, or an opportunity maybe unfolds because we happen to be somewhere. And that's one of the things that we pray for, is that we pray for God's will. We pray for just divine appointments during the day, that He can direct our steps and bring the right people in our path and eliminate the wrong people. You know, there's a number of scriptures that I've been thinking about this tonight, that as I'm making this program, there's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And this scripture says, "Wherefore, seeing that we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You know, we have to endure, because there's a joy that's set before us to pursue the will of God, that even though there's contrary wind, just like those disciples when they were going across the lake, they were rowing through multiple hours during the night, and Jesus, the Bible says that He saw them from the distance, and it was actually dark outside, so He actually saw them in the dark and knew exactly where they were, and He came walking to them on the water during the fourth watch, between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. He came to them. And many times we give up. It's like, well, I can't handle the storm anymore. I'm just going to turn around. I'm going to go back to shore. But, you know, if we can keep our eyes focused, that there is a purpose and a plan. I felt like many times that feeling like I'm supposed to do something, but there's maybe all sorts of controversy, or there's what you call contrary winds. There's just opposition to what I feel like I'm supposed to do. I almost feel like I used to go hiking a lot in the mountains, and sometimes you'll get closer to the top and you're just exhausted, and you know, maybe you might see a little bit more blue skylight through the trees as you're getting closer to the top, but you know, rather than just quitting and stopping, you just keep pursuing to get to the top, because you can't see clearly, or you can't see to the other side until you get to the top. And many times I feel like He's just grabbing my leg and trying to keep me from seeing what's beyond the ridge. And I remember just when I was a kid, even we're on a long hike up in the Rocky Mountains, and it was Rocky Mountain National Park, and I was maybe about 12 years old, and I remember there was a goal that we had set to go all the way to like five different mountaintops we were going to cross, walking across the Continental Divide. And I had a couple brothers that didn't want to go to this last mountain, and I just said, "I'm going to go." And I just kept hiking, and I was literally, we're in boulders, and I was just crawling over one boulder after another with this other few family members that we were going into this hike that we were going to. But I set myself like a sight and a goal, and I was going to make this goal, whether it killed me or not. And I even came, after I came home, I threw up just because I was, so my body was just so exhausted. But something happened in me when I set my sight on finishing whatever it was that I wanted to finish. It put like an overcoming nature inside of me to pursue, even when the greatest challenges are upon me. And I think that if we all will set our sights to finish the race, that no matter what the opposing storms, what kind of opposition we have, what kind of persecution you have, what kind of whatever it may be that are contrary to the direction that God has called you to go, when you pursue that, there's a strength that comes inside of you. And I always think about how Jesus talked about he that overcomes in the book of Revelation shall not be hurt of the from the second death, or shall be clothed in white and shall be made pillars. And I think this is what God is trying to do, is he's taking us out of our comfort zone first, because you'll never overcome anything inside the comfort zone. You have to leave the comfort zone of life to overcome, because there's nothing to overcome in your lazy boy. You have to get out and pursue the will of God as God reveals things to you. And as you begin to do this, there's strength that comes. Because if you think about the disciples, when they were going across the lake through that storm and they were rowing against contrary winds, their muscles were strengthened through the rowing of the contrary winds. They could have easily just turned the sail and turned and gone the other direction, where it would have been easier, and they could turn contrary winds into favorable winds. They could just, in a moment of time, just turning that sail. And this is the lesson, I believe. I wrote an article also I'm going to read here as I close the program out. It's called The Boomerang Gang. It's the latest article on Strength for the Journey. It says, do you want to watch the news or do you want to make the news? It's your choice. If you don't pursue God's will for your life, the enemy will pursue his will for your life. It's either play offense or play defense. It's your choice. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. Only those who do the will of the Father will enter the kingdom. Matthew 7:21, it's your choice. Many begin but don't finish because they can't finish. They leave their heart behind. They leave their heart behind, lost in an old world. Therefore, they must go back and retrieve it. Their treasure was still attached to the world and the things of this world. And this is what we have to do now. We have to let go. Let go, let go. And let the Lord lead us now. Let go of the old world. Let go of the things of this world. So thanks so much for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength with 4thejourney.com. And we'll see you next time.